So this story was very interesting to me. This couple very much considering a lawsuit after their dog, their bulldog, it drowned in the in a pool that they had some people as a pet resort. A pet resort. God, I'm just looking for a resort for a human being for myself at this point. But anyways, this was a pet resort, and they had a large pool. And the dog, a bulldog, cute little fellow here, and so he went in the pool, went in the water, and he died. And there's a whole story behind this that talks about, well, personal responsibility. Who's at fault here? Well, just a couple hours after dropping their pet off, a Matilda Grace, they called, a very beloved six-year-old bulldog, they got a call, which they thought was a kind of a prank at first, that their dog had died. And they were horrified. And that's where the story starts. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We're going to pick it up from there and talk a little bit about this personal responsibility. Who is at fault? Seems to me like everybody seems to be suing somebody at some point of the time, and got some interesting stories around this, friends. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Our co-host today from Florence, Italy, Sally Fernandez, and from the New England area, Ava Armstrong, joins us. Going to talk a little bit about this person. I don't know where you ladies will fall on this, because I have not asked you, but so let me give the total background of this very unique story. So this is in Arizona, okay, and they are considering legal action. This just happened a couple of weeks ago here, as their bulldog drowned in this pet resort, despite the warning that the pooch couldn't swim. So they told the resort this. But listen, is there any personal responsibility here when you bring your dog to a resort with a large pool and your dog can't swim, and then you tell them to look after the dog? But they did say that. Look after the dog because, you know, hey, the dog can't swim. And obviously, they didn't look after the dog too well. And they went back and forth with some, you know, post on Facebook, and where everybody goes to tell everybody off Facebook, you know. It's like, that's the new Cheers. Remember that show, Ladies Cheers, at the barroom there? People used to go and bitch, yes, and complain about life. This is, Facebook is now the current day Cheers, you know.
Right.
It's where you go and you bitch about everything. That's why I can't stand Facebook, you know. So it's everybody's bitching and griping about something. But listen, I grew up with family and people, this whole Sue Happy environment. I have some real strong feelings about this whole personal responsibility conversation to begin with, and the fact that everybody seems to be suing somebody for something. And here's a case, though, but maybe these people have a legitimate gripe or legitimate position. Sally, tell me, do you think that this couple, do they have a leg to stand on, first of all? The fact that they told the resort, got to watch the dog, blah, 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 and obviously the resort didn't kind of watch the dog. So if you were a judge, and let's put this out there. So you heard of Judge Wapner? Well, this is Judge Fernandez. And she's sitting up there, and she said, okay, Judge Fernandez, so what's the verdict here? So
I have to be Judge Sally.
That's right, Judge Sally.
Judy,
yeah.
You would
be a good Judge Sally. You'd be a good judge. Judge Sally, Judge Ava. I'd watch those shows. Go ahead.
Well, as Judge Sally, I would say they probably don't have a case to stand on. One thing we didn't mention is the name of the company. It's called Always Unleashed. And I actually looked online at their policy, and they may have changed this after this dog died. But in the policy, it says that the dogs have 100% freedom to roam around. They're cage-free. They actually have an app for the pet owners so that they can look from their phone or computer anytime they want. They have webcams everywhere, so they can always watch their pet from afar. And in the contract they actually signed, it says, I am aware harm or loss could come to my pet due to the nature of a cage-free setting. So, you know, they knew kind of what the situation was. Now, the only caveat is it also says in there that I understand Unleash Pet Resort has the right to refuse service to me or my dog at any reason. And I really think that the company has maybe some responsibility in terms of they could have refused the dog, saying we can't be responsible because the dog is going to run around and there is a large pool. So it is, you mentioned, it's a kind of a sticky wicket. But I think all in all, they really don't have a case to stand.
Sally, they probably had to, or do you know this, did they have to sign a disclaimer, the couple, I
yes.
would imagine? They
yes.
did, right?
This is a contract that they have
that
to sign.
That says if your dog gets hurt or something happens, it probably says they're not responsible, right?
It says due to the nature of this cage free setting.
Well, Unleash, the place is called Unleash. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
it's not, you know, we lock you up in a kennel. That's not the name of the place, right?
Exactly. So the contract and what I just indicated is in the contract that they would have signed, which says that it really they can't hold Unleashed responsible for what happened.
Leave it to Judge Sally. She goes to the site, checks out the rules and regulations and the policies. Go figure, Ava. I mean, does that like surprise you at all? I mean, she's researched
No.
the whole case and now she's ready to render her decision. All right. So Judge Ava, what do you say?
Well, the minute that I saw the name of the place in the article, I knew it was kind of like a doggy daycare that was, you know, open. It was very open. And these dogs all roamed free and did what they wanted or played or, you know, whatever. And there was not a lot of human intervention. You know, the dogs were allowed to roam. And that's very good for them in many settings. Being a bulldog owner myself, and my bulldogs cannot swim. They're like huge. I mean, they're too heavy to to be able to swim.
But they would sink to the bottom, I'm sure.
They
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
They literally do. And right. they don't even like to have a bath. So, you know, being a bulldog owner, you know, for many years, you would understand the danger of that. And I would go so far, this is going to add insult to injury, I know, but I would go so far as to say that the people that drop their pet off there, knowing this, they were doing themselves a great disservice. You know, they kind of knew that this was a, you know, a horrible, dangerous thing for their dog to be near an open pool, and they did reiterate it with the staff several times. But there is a responsibility level for the pet owner too. So I really don't think they have a case at all.
So you don't either.
No, I've seen, this is really sad to talk about, but I know of people who have dropped their child off at daycare and their child has had, you know, an episode or, you know, medical thing happen and actually passed away. So these kinds of things are, you know, horrible when they happen. Placing blame, however, on this particular dog facility, I think that's going to be a real stretch. I just don't see how they can be viewed as being culpable or guilty or in any way, because they did what they do. That, you know, and the people that dropped their pet off there knew the environment. They knew that, and they knew it so well that they offered this extra cautionary note about their pet. So, I mean, I just see it as being, you know, it's sad. It's very sad, and my heart bleeds for them because it's tragic to lose a pet, even more tragic to lose a child. And, you know, these types of things happen, and I would say, you know, I would say to exercise great caution whenever you hand your pet over to someone like that.
Well, in full disclosure to everybody, and you and Sally specifically too, I've been called a bulldog now and then again, by the way, ladies, okay? But I can swim, you know. I just want you both to know that. So I don't sink like a bulldog, but I've been called a bulldog now and then again. I just need you both to know that. But anyways, all right, so you both judges here are believing that... Well, listen, let's come down the list here. So the place is called Unleashed, right? Unleashed something? Always
it's
Unleashed.
Always Unleashed.
So the place is called Always Unleashed. So they pride themselves on the fact that the dogs have free reign. They can do whatever they want to. Got it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, they got a pool. So they got the pool there. That's part of the ambiance. You got it. You got the app. You got everything going. I mean, they kind of created their brand, their unique brand. I get that as a branding guy. So you want to do something different. In other words, you want to do a doggy daycare sort of environment or doggy overnight care, whatever. But you want it to be unique. So you create these sort of unique things. I mean, if I was going to have a doggy daycare environment or overnight thing, I get this. You could do all kinds of things to make it unique. You know, you could feed them out of diamond glistening bowls, and you could make them feel like the little chumps that they are. You know, you could do all kinds of things and make it really, really clever. I mean, I get that as a marketing thing. So they do all of this. The couple obviously likes the place. They like the idea that little Matilda Grace is going to be free to roam around and do things and what have you. And that what would worry me about that environment, ladies, is that the dog would interact too much with other dogs and might get hurt. You know, dogs on dogs is not always a good environment either. If you've got 105 dogs, as this story says, running around there, that would make me a little suspect. I'm not sure I like the unleashed, always unleashed environment. I don't think that's exactly a perfect environment for the animal, so I'm not sure I'm on that page. That wouldn't kind of attract, like, I've got a little Chinese crested, Zachary, okay? I wouldn't bring Zachary there because there's too much trouble. There's too much that can get involved, and nor do I want other dogs humping my dog either. You understand? You understand?
Right. Yeah. If you've ever watched the Dog Whisperer.
That's what they do. They hump each other, for real.
Well, yeah, if you've ever watched the Dog Whisperer, Caesar, and how he creates a pack, and there's always like dogs that are alpha.
Exactly.
And the other head, you know, but he's actually the alpha when he's involved with the dogs. Yeah. But the minute you step away, there's another alpha that will fill in. So, yes, I agree with you. I don't think these huge packs of, you know, dogs, even though there are people there supervising them, I don't think that's a good idea. I think a small pack would be okay. Like if you had a daycare situation where there were like maybe 8 or 10 dogs, that's a little more manageable. But when you have like many, many dogs, like in these dog parks and things like that, where they, people go and unleash their dogs, you're right. There are a lot of things. There's a lot of harm that can come to your
dog. Not only that, Ava, but they give each other diseases, germs and diseases, you know. I was just at the vet with Zachary this past week, by the way, getting his checkup. And that's one of the things they were asking me now. Is he around any other doggies? Do you put him in these little camps overnight? Do you do this or that? Or, you know, what's his exposure? Because there are other shots he'll have to get. That's code for the vet saying, how much more can I screw you so you have to pay more in your bill? You know,
see, but this all comes down to being responsible, whether you're parents or pet owners, or I guess in California, you have to be called guardians. I don't know what they are, but you have to take responsibility for placing your animal in a certain place. And there's so many unknown things. But in our society today, that's so litigious that it's all about if something goes wrong, it's someone else's fault. And people have to make decisions for themselves and be accountable.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. When I was growing up as a young boy, I remember being a litigious society was pretty commonplace. It was well known, Sally. You know, everybody, I mean, we just talked about it. It seemed like everybody was suing everybody. And if they weren't suing somebody, then they were playing the lottery on a more frequent double basis. In other words, what I'm saying is it's this kind of get-rich-quick scheme, Sally, you know?
Exactly. They look for the deep pockets, money.
You know, but I know.
It's frustrating. I mean, I just, from some stats, you know, the American Bar Association says there's now currently 1.1 million lawyers practicing in the United States. So that relates to about one for every 300 people. But each year, 15 million civil cases are filed in the U.S.
Wow. They say a group of lawyers tied together and dropped at the bottom of the water is also a good boat anchor, by the way, ladies. I've heard that joke now and then again. You know, I don't know about a bulldog, but...
Well, this will shock you a little bit, because if you look at litigation rates, you know, per 1,000 people, actually, European nations... top the world as being most litigious countries.
Get out of
here.
It's
Germany. No, it's Germany, Sweden, Israel, and Australia. And yes, US comes in number five.
I would not have guessed that, Sally.
I would neither.
We're actually called the Sue. We're called, I mean, I've always known growing up, it's like America was always known as the Sue Happy environment. You're saying we don't even have first or second or third on the list.
Nope, we're fifth.
It's hard to believe that those countries, and then Australia even is in the top group above us?
No, Austria.
Oh, Austria. Austria.
But Germany is shocking. And then there's Sweden, Israel, and Austria.
I wonder why those countries specifically. Does it lend itself to the personalities, you think, of the kind of people that live there? Is there any connection there, ladies? Or?
Well, I don't know, but you would think that the German legal system would be very strict, strict, and I don't know. It's something I'd like to look into at some point.
Yeah, because they're all suing each other and stuff. But yet we kind of knew that in this country, that's the way a lot of people were. You know, I grew up with a dad that was sort of that way. My father was one of these, I don't know. Well, he played the lottery a lot. See, people who sue a lot, I look at those people as the same people who play the lottery. I don't play the lottery. I don't want the lottery. I don't want the winnings. I don't want to be. I don't want it. So people say,
you're saying
what's that?
But you're saying that so people are betting on the fact that if they sue, they'll get some money.
Oh, it's psychological. I think they're looking for a free parade. I don't want a free parade, Sally. I want to earn it the hard way. I want to have dirt underneath my fingernails. I want to have blood dripping from my feet. I want to earn it the hard way. You understand? I don't want a free ride, Sally. Ava?
Ava, I think he needs a doggy resort.
I do too.
With that, hold the barking down, people. Hold the barking down. Well, yeah, you're getting out of control. We're going to pause right. This is a good time for a pause so I can recompose myself. We'll be right back with Ava Armstrong and Sally Fernandez. We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the vision of the voices. AmericaOutloud.com. We are back. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We are here with Sally Fernandez and Ava Armstrong. During the moment of pause there, it was said that Sally's got all the facts. See, Sally, she's a researcher. She just does her background. She definitely is Judge Sally. I mean, she's going to have the goods on you, whether you like it or you don't like it. And I said, I'll provide the entertainment, so I'm pretty good at that. I can do that part of it. And Ava says she's going to be the peanut gallery. So we're in pretty good shape here, friends. I hope you are as well. We are with you here on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Ava, you would be a phenomenal peanut gallery. I'm good with that.
Yes. I love to throw things.
I love it. You just do really, really, and you do it well. You just know how to stir the pot. You're my kind of gal there, but definitely Out Loud style. All right, so listen, in full disclosure, for real now, I really grew up in, and I just want to tell you, I grew up as a young man. There were seven in my family, and my dad was a hard worker. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to take anything away from him because he was a hard worker. I mean, he was a contractor, had his own business. As a kid, I didn't ever told you, ladies. I'm going to tell you right now, but I don't think I've ever told you. So as a young boy, when I was like 14, 15, 16, in that age, 17, beside all the other jobs I did and entrepreneurial stuff I was doing, which was a whole lot of stuff, actually, I used to paint and wallpaper and put paint and do all this because my father was a contractor. So he like did all that. He had his own business and he would like paint these massive houses and he would wallpaper and he would do all this, really interesting stuff and made a good living with it. It's what he did. And I did a lot of that as a kid. I learned how to paint. Some people learn how to, they learn how to do different things of their origins, of their fathers, their family. I knew how to paint. I knew how to wallpaper.
Now, was he a taskmaster or was he a good teacher?
That's a good question. No, he wasn't a good teacher per se. He wasn't a bad teacher either. He was just sort of like, here's how you do it, go do it, you know? I don't think he was good or bad. You had to figure it out. Luckily, I could figure it out on the fly. He was very good. Although he did, he was good at this. So he would tell me, you know, something, then you just go do it. But I used to help him when I was a young boy do some of that stuff in between my other jobs. But my dad always had this essence of wanting to play. He was always playing the lottery, and he always won. And it drove me crazy as a young boy, this mentality of lottery. Like, you know, it's like I'd always looked at it as a free lunch, that somebody wanted a free lunch. And he always had these dreams about buying everybody everything, you know, buying big stuff for people. He was a giver. He gave away a lot. He would give anything to anybody. He was a giver. So he would like do all kinds of that stuff and give things all the time. But he always talked about suing people as well. If somebody crossed his path or pissed him off, he'd say, I'm going to sue them. So if the neighbors, like we had a neighbor one time who put the fence just over there was a fence between the driveway, and they had put the fence up. They were really good friends with this neighbor. Her name was Jean. And they kind of all of a sudden fell out of good company. So he pissed her off, or she pissed him off, and they didn't talk for a while. And then she went ahead and put a fence up between the driveways. My father went through the ceiling. He was pissed. He said, I can't believe she put up a fence between the driveways. I mean, he was pissed. So as a young kid, he wanted me to go out and bend the poles to the to the fence so they couldn't put the fence up, so it would bend the poles. And Oh, yeah. And he was like, go out and bend the poles. I said, what the hell? Bend the poles. I like Jean. Jean was, she was a good, she was a friend of mine. I like Jean. I don't want to bend her poles. Get out of here. Anyways, I digress, Your Honor.
And these frivolous lawsuits will even make your father kind of laugh and chuckle. And they came from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, 2016, 10 most frivolous lawsuits. I won't read them all, but I'll highlight my favorites. Number 9, a mom and son sued the educational testing system and the College Board for a misprint that gave students extra time on a section of the SAT exam. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the son's score was or what the beef was.
Yeah, I wonder what the beef was, if the son, like, had, I mean, in order to sue, don't you have to have a premise for something is wrong or something was, you just can't sue because the sky is aqua green today and not bright blue. I mean, there's got to be a reason.
I assume the guy probably didn't get a good score. Something happened.
It's got to be something. The mom got livid and said, yeah, she's exactly. going to teach them a lesson. Yeah. Did that one go anywhere, Sally, or did they?
These were all lawsuits. So they were all filed, and okay. I'm not sure how the outcome.
Right.
But their number 5 was MasterCard. A man sued MasterCard for continuing to promote its Stand Up for Cancer fundraising campaign even after it met a $4 million goal. MasterCard holders sued the company because they raised more than $30 million for cancer research.
Unbelievable. Go figure. Unbelievable. That's a demented wow. individual.
I know. Now, here's another favorite. Number 4, PETA filed a lawsuit after a macaque, an old world monkey, took a selfie, and it was credited, and the photographer, a British photographer, took credit for it, but they argue that the animal ought to be entitled to property rights and copyright privileges.
I seen that story that hit the international newswire recently. Yeah. Did you see that one, Ava?
Yes.
And the picture of the monkey there is very clever. I mean, it's a great shot of the selfie, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I can't even take a good selfie of me that good. I mean, he looks pretty charming in there. I like it. But I wonder where that one goes. I thought that was over the top crazy. But they actually have a lawsuit for that, don't they?
They do. And I'm wondering if the monkey is given property rights and copyright privileges, what he'd do with it. It's just so bizarre.
I mean, you can't. Well, I think I remember reading something about that case, Sally, where it says there that there was some, I don't know if there was a ruling already or not, or speculation
didn't
from the attorneys.
Didn't that one go to the federal court or something?
Something
or,
was on
or
that
was
case.
It the Supreme Court.
Did that go to the Supreme Court? Wow.
That is just insane.
I can't imagine the
insane.
Supreme Court wanting to hear that, but I know the result of it was, or I believe it was, I read somewhere, that animals don't have that right. There's some restrictions on animals. They don't get the same privileges as human beings go. So Maybe
That's why they're called animals.
maybe that's a segue for Planet of the Apes, right?
I thought we were doing Planet of the Robots.
Planet of the Robots and Planet of the Apes. I mean, you think about that, Planet of the Apes, they don't get the same rights as we get, or they're not supposed to, unless they take over the universe, right?
Okay, right. Well, here's my last one, and this is important to both Ava and myself. A class action suit was filed against a company called Fresh Inc. They alleged that the company's packaging of their lip balm prevented them from accessing the last bit of the product at the bottom of the tube.
Well, that I can understand. That's sort of like a toothpaste when you can't get the little bit out because the nozzle is so hard at the top that you can't squeeze it out. That pisses me off.
And Sue, you know? Sue Crest or Colgate.
Yeah, I don't sue anybody. Do you know I can honestly say to both of you, I've never sued anybody in my life. Yeah. It doesn't. I don't wake up in the day thinking I'm going to go sue somebody. I'm just simply not a litigious person. I just feel like life is too short, number one. And number two, certainly we can sit down and talk about it, can't we, ladies?
We don't anymore.
I think lawsuits have a place, though. There are actual cases of tremendous negligence and, you know, car accidents and things like that.
I understand. Have you sued anybody in your life, Ava?
Oh, sure.
You have?
Sure. Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
Like a lot?
Well, I think there are times, only times when it's, you know, necessary, because there are times when, well, you're very fortunate. You've never been in an accident of any type. So, because there are times when having a good attorney and a lawsuit that, you know, is solid, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there are times that it's very frivolous, I agree, but, you know, you have to have respect for the legal system too. And it is necessary in some cases. So I don't want to just poo-poo it completely here, you know.
No, but you're absolutely right. But that's the problem with these frivolous lawsuits, because they're clogging the courts so that when people really do have a legitimate claim, it's very, very difficult. And it's years and years of trying to get it through the process.
Yeah. And so, a good example of where, you know, the legal field is really creating a lot of havoc is in the medical field. There are many frivolous lawsuits in the medical field, and it's creating a tremendous expense for physicians in the way of malpractice insurance. I can't remember the percentage of their income that is spent on malpractice insurance, but I think it might be up to a third or possibly higher.
It is. It is. I have doctors, MD friends, and many, and it's a major burden to their practices, Aver. In fact, it's one of the biggest causes of why they have to charge the prices they charge.
Yeah. So there's one of your reasons. That's one of the reasons why health is incredibly expensive. It's not because, you know, people are colluding against, you know, the patient or any of that. Most of it is because of government.
Well, quite frankly, when the health care was passed, Ava, one of the big complaints about it was that there was no tort reform.
Right, exactly. Because without tort reform, you're really not going
to
resolve
nothing, because all these people are out suing everybody, you know.
And right.
And then it labors the whole system down, and then it becomes strangulate. It's like strangulation, you know. You just can't function that way. It's a real problem. You know, listen, I know there are legitimate cases. I know there are legitimate causes where people do somebody wrong, or a system or an organization does somebody wrong. And those are legitimate lawsuits. You can sit, and when they happen, we kind of can applaud those, you know, because when the victim becomes the victor, that's a good day, isn't it, ladies?
It sure is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you see those out there. There's no question about it. That we are approaching 100 shows on season one. I cannot believe 100 shows. But it's like, you've listened to me for over 100 hours, people. Like, that's insane. And but we have done it here, and we have connected. What's really cool about this show is we've connected some of the most dynamic and unique people around the globe. And it has been like one of the biggest blessings of life. This crazy idea that we had of doing this show, and by connecting extraordinary women around the globe. I've been having so much fun with it. I'm actually going to be taking a trip next week up to the mountains again, and I'm wondering what's going to come out of that trip, ladies. How, you know, that mountaineer sometimes will, you get thinking a little bit, right?
It's good for you.
I know, Eva, but then you never know what I'm coming back with and stuff. But that's where this show was birthed, and we are coming up. August 6th will be our last show on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Season 1 will be our final show. Show number 100 will be that day. We've got some very unique shows and topics and messages we're going to plan ahead with all of our hosts on this show that are really around the globe, from Europe, Australia, here in the States. You know, it's really, really cool how we've connected the world here through this show. It's been remarkable, really. And I've so enjoyed it, and I know you have as well, and we so appreciate you being here. But look forward to the next couple of weeks. And then, by the way, this incredible body of work, we will run it in its entirety again, season 1, at this time, 5 p.m. So keep listening, share it as we get primed up for season 2, which will launch in November. We'll launch in November, just at the conclusion of season 1, the repeat of that. We will launch again, season 2, the entire cast of characters and some unique happenings from around the globe. So that's what's happening here. I wanted you to know that at America Out Loud, we're, again, doing some very unique things. And this show has been truly, truly unique. Thank you for being part of it, friends. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for telling folks about it. There are days when this show has got record numbers, a lot of days. It's a top rated show of the network. It does well. It does well on all the networks. That's what's cool about our format and our promotion. It's been really, really cool. So keep that thought there. We'll continue on. We started with a dog death and a resort. We've gone on to life and medical malpractice, and God knows where we're going next. But we'll find that out in a moment with Ava Armstrong and Sally Fernandez. Stay right there, please. We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. And we stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Now, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is 100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, it's, I'll tell you what, 90-plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally, and I think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy, you'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus, you'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you.
You are listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And today we've got some very interesting topics. We have Ava Armstrong from New England and Malcolm Out Loud. And I am Sally Fernandez from Florence, Italy today. I have to figure out what day it is and where I am. But anyway, we were talking about frivolous lawsuits and how they're logger jamming the court system, and that there are some legitimate suits that need to be heard. But I kind of have a prediction that going forward, and we kind of had some futuristic shows we talked about earlier, where there'll be less lawyers and there'll be more robots giving you information and so forth. But I think that there may be actually a reduction in frivolous suits when there aren't deep pockets involved. And they'll use social network to kind of displace by literally using it to bully people, badger them. I mean, Twitter's already haranguing people, kind of indifferent to criticism. And I also think one of the biggest things that we're going to start seeing is more and more of this push on cultural appropriation. It seems to be one of the largest complaints. And, you know, there's examples of people that have actually closed their business because it's been so difficult for this. But I think culture appropriation is going to be kind of the new crusade that's out there. Ava, what do you think about that?
I'm trying to figure out what cultural appropriation
means. Well, here's an example. There was two white women that went to Mexico on vacation. They fell in love with these lobster tacos. They decided to set up a business in Oregon. And they got this rave review in the paper. And once people really found out about it, they were harangued so badly on Facebook and other social media that they ended up having to close. The culture appropriation is that they're not Mexican, therefore they do not have the right to make tacos.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Are
and
you
this has happened.
Me?
No, I'm absolutely serious.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and this kind of feeds into you and I being artists, I mean being authors, because the Whitney Museum in New York have a biennial exhibition of contemporary American art. And one, I think it was last year, they wanted to confront racism and poverty in the States. And so they had half of the painters were black, half of them were white. But there was one artist who submitted a painting about a famous photograph of a dead boy. His name was Emmett Till. And it happened back in the 50s. And it came from a photograph that was in a magazine. It was submitted and nonstop wailing from the 20-somethings, the millennials, said that she was guilty of cultural appropriation because she's white and a member of the oppressor class. So she shouldn't be allowed to depict black suffering. And then she got blasted on Twitter. And it's just horrible. So, you know, I think about as being an author, that basically says that I can only write about white middle to upper class people because I can't, I mean, basically fiction would go away, but it's become a huge problem.
Yes. Okay. Now I understand what you're talking about. That's bullshit, in my opinion, and I'll just say that real plain and simple.
Say what you mean, young lady, please.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking to the future, though. I'm going into Sally's future mode here on a journey with her, and I'm seeing the future, though, as many blended races and people, okay? And we all have red blood inside of us, and we all have the same organs. So I see more of a homogeny kind of thing taking place. You know what I'm saying? It will be more of, blended people. I mean, my goodness, I have like three different nationalities in me. My daughter has like six in her. I have friends that have like 8 or 12 different combinations in their family. So, it's becoming more difficult to stake your claim, so to speak, as a black person or a white person or, you know, Hispanic person or what have you. So I think down the road, we're all going to be a blend.
And but you're thinking like a logical person.
Yes.
And, you know, this whole millennium culture, I mean, you remember what happened at Harvard when one sorority dressed up in sombreros and drank tequilas, and professors basically lost their job because of it. And that was cultural appropriation, that they didn't have the right to do that. And you know, so you're thinking in the right way, but these millennials, I mean, they're just crazy over this whole cultural appropriation.
I think they have a lot to learn. I really do. I mean, if people really think that way, then...
It's insane.
Yeah, that's high level insanity. No, when I write novels, I have a variety of characters in them, and I think that makes it much more interesting. And the people that you might think are the bad guys sometimes are not the bad guys. They're the good guys. Mm-hmm. So, I don't have the stereotypical kind of characters. And I think it's more fun to mix it up like that
It
and to
is,
make it
Ava. You know,
surprising.
in full disclosure, you too, as well, that, you know, I'm also a mutt. I also have a lot of stuff in me. I'm not a purebred. And, you know, my family slept around as well, Ava, as yours did. So I get it. I get
Sure.
it. You know, I mean, we're all sort of blended and unique. And, you know, I've always seen this in my life as one of the greatest things of life. You've heard me talk about it so many times on this show. I am sure you have, because you know, when I was in the business community, you know, Ava, Sally, when I was doing a lot of the stuff in the head of the agency, I used to do these world-class events. I love doing these events, and I used to do them specifically on cultural diversity. Now, when I say do them, I mean I would moderate them. I would invite the mayor, the governor, leaders in the state, and corporate leaders and others, and we'd you know have several hundred people there, and it would be a big event like a luncheon. And I was no expert in cultural diversity, but yet I was, because I embraced it in my life, and I just think it was one of the sweetest things of life. I always looked at it as a plus that we all didn't look the same or act the same, whereas a lot of people look at it as some sort of a negative, this whole cultural thing, and it really gets me hung up with people, and they sort of know that. But I used to do these events, and I was no expert in any of it, and people would say, "Well, you're doing these cultural diversity things," you might say, and I didn't know jack about it, really. I just knew you needed to treat people well, and I loved all kinds of people, and so I used to do these events talking about, why don't we connect everybody together, and we talked about, and I had experts come in, now people who knew a lot about it, cultural diversity. But a lot of people thought that I knew a lot about it because I acted like I did, but I really didn't know shit about it, you know, other than I knew about real life, you know? And so
Yeah.
I used to do those, and people would, I got branded as such as the guy that was always doing these very unique events with culture. But I think it's one of the beautiful things of life, Ava, that you point out, that we are so unique in the way we are. Imagine how boring it would be if everybody looked and acted the same, or we were all the same culture. It's one of the things I love about America, quite frankly, is we are such an incredible melting pot of everybody around the globe. And
Well, that's what makes it so special, but that's why it's so
exactly.
confusing why cultural diversity is such a big issue on
For a
these
lot of
campuses and
people.
with young people, except these are the same people who, don't want you know, and their best friend is, of Chinese or Japanese or Mexican or whatever ethnicity or race, yet, and they feel like you shouldn't be trying to be in their space. We had this conversation with one of the other co-hosts a while back, and she thought we didn't have the right to adapt someone else's, race or
Sally,
whatever.
let's talk about that a minute. That was
It's
a
crazy.
show that really irritated. I know you left that show aghast. You really did, because you responded after that show to me, and you kind of were left with your mouth open on that show. Let's talk about that a second, because that has really haunted me since then, that episode and what happened to that co-host afterward here. Let me just say this. She was a university, I guess she was, wasn't she a university professor now or something, or
Yes,
teaching in the university? Yeah. And she was a young black lady, and we don't have to say her name or anything, but how do you think that went? Tell everybody what the premise of that was and what the position she took on that, will you?
Well, her premise is she actually teaches millennials on how to live the good life. And it's they need to live happy and healthy lives, which means they can define their own world. And so the premise sounds good, and I argue that it wasn't necessarily, it was idealistic and not realistic. But then we got talking about the differences, and I talked about this Harvard issue, and she kind of just dished any statistics or any solid professors who said certain things because she thought it was totally inappropriate and no one had the right to be Mexicans other than Mexicans. And then she went into some racial stuff, and we kind of just stopped at
Sally, I
that point.
found her a very racist person. Did you as
Yeah,
well?
I did. And she went in and she basically gave the description of how she walked down the street with her dog, and somebody didn't confront her or whatever it was because she was black. And I think in that show, you asked, I was supposed to respond, and I didn't because I was going to talk about how one campus wanted to remove Martin Luther King's statement where he talked about the color of your skin. which was from his I Have a Dream speech, which I thought was very uplifting. And the campus wanted to remove it because it didn't deal with all gender. It was only about race, and it didn't talk about gender. And I'm thinking, well, gender wasn't an issue back in the 60s. And it's that kind of crazy stuff. And she was just so resistant to anything other than what she believed in. But that's really what a lot of millennials are holding to. And it's really kind of frightening. I argued, you know, where's our next generation going to be? What are they going to do for us?
Well, you were putting some, you know, reasonably good points out there. Very good. And she just didn't. She kept going back to race. But, you know, in the short time she was with us on Life Liberty, every show we did came back to race. Obviously, it was a problem she had. She had the problems, Ava, is what we're saying. And, you know, and she sent me an email. I want to tell you, because I knew at some point we'd talk about this on the show. I didn't know when, but hell, let's do it now. And so she sent me an email, and I'm going to read it to you just for shits and giggles, because I think it is very accurate that here's a person who talked about wanting to have diverse opinions out there, and understand that we are this show talks about being highly opinionated women and highly accomplished and very unique people. And, you know, this is an opinion based show, and we talk about everything. We've talked about everything on this show. And so we have the disclaimer right up front. That's the whole draw to this show. So here's a lady who talked about all of this and wanting all this, yet she really didn't want to participate. So she sends me, she does three shows. I wasn't sure if it was two or three. I guess she did three.
And she got two of them.
You got two of them. So Sally was
trying.
And she sends an email.
Oh, good damn, I wish I had gotten her.
Well, let me tell you, I bet. So here's the email she sent, Ava. Good afternoon, Malcolm. I hope that all is well. I really enjoyed the three shows I participated in. I think it is really important for diverse people with diverse ideals to have conversations for the purposes of focusing on what brings us together. Mm-hmm. However, the nature of the show is not consistent with my developing brand. Thanks for the opportunity. I wish you and the show success. Best, Christian. Oh, I said her name. Excuse me.
That's a kiss-off right there.
It will. And, you know, I never responded to her email. I flushed her down the toilet.
Well, I had two shows with her, and every issue was the minute I say some, like, trigger word or something, then she would go off on a tangent for like 15 minutes. And it was something, it was the same spiel that she would give at the university. So she just kind of had it off the top of her head and never really had a dialogue.
Well, she kept saying that she was trying to play the poor young black girl, and she kept doing that, Sally.
I know.
It's what she kept doing. Because I had to cut some of her. It got so bad on one show, I had to cut it out. Our editor, when they went through it, said, listen to this. I mean, it had nothing to do with anything. She just went on some personal preamble about how she's been, you know, whatever. You think she was Jesus Christ and she was crucified on the cross.
Yeah, it's all about being disenfranchised. That's the word.
Disenfranchised, but it also means that they have defined themselves as victims.
Yes.
And then that gives them the opportunity to be aggressive and offensive.
We've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme.
Exactly.
It's not a good approach.
But you know, ladies, I can't do anything about what my ancestors did. I can't do shit about what they did 100 years ago. Yeah, I can't do anything about it. It's out of my control, ladies.
The sad part about this, Malcolm, is these are people who live in the past. They live
totally.
All these, the more transgressions they can dig up, and the more, you know, whining and bitching and moaning and, you know.
It's not going to accomplish anything, Ava.
No,
it doesn't. You know, what's really sad is that they have no leadership. And any of the blacks out there that are really accomplishing things, if they're conservative, they're not considered black anymore.
Yeah, they look down at them. There's a lot of them on the news programs, and they look down.
Oh, there's tons. How about right. Colin Powell?
Right.
You know, Rice. I mean,
Condoleezza
it goes on
Rice,
and on, yeah. And it's just sad. And you see other ethnic groups come into this country. You see Chinese people without anything. They come in, they get a citizenship, they get a job, they do a business.
That's because
they
what's
bring
happened
more
in this
family
country,
over.
What's happened in this country, Sally, is the political left have used the black community in a very bad
Exactly.
way. That's what they've
And
done.
I know it's a shame. I mean, I feel bad for it for them because they don't have the representation. They get totally misused. You know, 8 years ago, the blacks today are so far worse off than they were when they had the first black president in the, if he couldn't do something for them, then I don't know what can happen.
Well, he didn't improve relations in this country. That's for damn
sure.
He
ruined it.
Okay.
Well, that's why we're heading right back to the 60s, and I put it all right in his
Well, a lot of people thought we were headed to another civil war, for heaven's sakes, you know, in some regard. It was really awful.
Yeah, and you know what's really sad, too? We call him the first black president, but he was also half white.
Right.
And that part of his heritage is never mentioned or never honored in any way. I mean, he had a black father that deserved.
Well,
but,
Ava, some people would call him the first socialist president or the first Muslim president too. Did I say that?
Yeah. No, he was.
He's also anti-colonialist. So he is anti-white, and he learned that from his white mother.
Interesting.
So it's really fascinating. You know, I don't know if you've seen Dinesh D'Souza's film, 2016.
I have.
Yeah, I had it sitting on my mantle for a year because I was so pissed off at Obama. I didn't want to see anything more about him. But then I watched it, and it is so thoughtfully laid out, and it explains exactly why he is the way he is.
Sally,
he
it's like
it from a
C.L.
very young age.
It's like Reverend C.L. Bryant's film, The Runaway Slave.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great. He's exactly. Another great black American, C.L. Bryant. Go look him up, Reverend C.L. Bryant, and look up at The Runaway Slave. And he's phenomenal. Now, he's been on my show many times, both radio and television. He's got his own radio show today. He's a great patriot. But he did a film that changed the whole thing about black-white relationships. He tried to showcase what the Democratic Party has done to great black Americans in a big way. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Ava. Or the film? Or...
No, I haven't seen that one. No.
Well, you'd be blown away at Reverend Bryant and the work he's done. He just contacted me a couple of weeks ago, wanted to get together again. I haven't talked to him in a while, but he's a great American, really, really good.
It's really sad what's happened. So we've gone from frivolous lawsuits to trying to solve
frivolous relations that aren't building a great country at that point. And I think everybody should look at their own house and not throw rocks at everybody else, number one. And number two, I think treat everybody well. I think that's the way it is. I think the richness of life is the uniqueness in all of us. And that's the way I look at it, ladies, as these are God's people. We're all unique. We're all unique characters. I don't look at anybody having an upper hand anywhere. I just look at, we all have an opportunity ahead to be the very best we can be, do the very best we can be. And that's what I want this platform to be. And that's what we do at America Out Loud. And that's why when you look across the whole platform of the work we're doing, folks, you see, number one, the diversity of shows, the uniqueness of the content we put out, the uniqueness of the voices that you are hearing. All of that is truly, truly a unique place. You know, someone just said to me recently, you know, you're doing some amazing things over there on that platform. What is going on over there? And, you know, it really is taking on a life of its own. So it's not like what's going on over here. It's that life is being lived over here. And life has taken on this whole other dynamic is what we're seeing here at AmericaOutloud.com. So life, liberty, the pursuit of pleasure. And I got to tell you, we have some exciting things coming about here. Keep an eye on. We have some new productions, new shows coming out. I've got some new stuff in the pot myself. I'm stirring. I'm going to be kicking off here in just a couple of weeks. We also have, in August, we will be launching the America Out Loud store. We've been talking about this for, a good part of a year or so. And it's taken a few months to get it. I wanted to put something together to honor, we have some brilliant people on this network, great authors, and just like on this show today, Sally and Ava happen to be two of the most brilliant authors and brilliant people, and their work is showcased on there and their likeness, and it's an unusual store. It's a little different because you get a lot of background information on the people, and I think you'll get the idea and the hang of it. It's a place, I like to create places where you want to get there and you want to hang out for a little while, check it out, see what's going on. It's a more of a pleasurable experience, if you will. And that's what I think this is. I don't know. I just love the corner street coffee shop. You could see I could run my own coffee shop or my own martini bar. I love that kind of thing. You know, let people come in, treat them well, have a good time, laugh a little bit, live life, learn a little bit. That's what it's all about. So look at America Out Loud as my own little coffee shop and my own little martini bar, if you will. I'm doing it. It's all here. So anyways, look for the store. That's coming in August. And I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it. There's some very cool things happening in the air, and we're excited about it. Thank you, friends, for being part of the journey. Thanks for joining me today. And I think you can all agree that we agree that the dog owners should have known what they were dealing with instead of putting their dog in that resort. If you didn't figure that out in the first segment, go back and listen again. But it's called self-responsibility, personal responsibility. We all need to have a little bit of that in our lives. Sally Fernandez, Ava Armstrong. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.